this week, however, today we will continue with our Thrive series. I want to speak to you all this morning on the topic of this rediscovering friendships. Rediscovering friendships. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, is gonna tell us a little something. But before we dive into God's word, let's just pray and let's just thank God for this week. You might have had a rough week. This might have been a great week. Whatever your situation is, as Jocelyn was saying, God is still faithful. And we just want to take some time this morning just to really thank him, but also help him, help us to prepare our hearts for what God has for us this morning. So let's pray, church. Father, just thank you for just this opportunity that you've allowed us just to gather and just to be able to worship you. And despite of our circumstance, God, you are still God and you are faithful. And we just ask that you would help us, God, to eliminate distractions, help us to engage, God, and just in your word, God, and help us, Lord, to expect you to move in our hearts this morning. We give you our attention. We give you everything we have. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, part A, we read that the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be what? Alone. It is not good for man should be that man should be alone." What does that mean? It means that we then were created to be in or to live in community with others, surrounded by others. Remember a few weeks back I spoke and I reminded us all that thriving is not just about getting by, right? And thriving isn't just about settling. Thriving is about intentional growth, right? It's about flourishing. It's about progressing toward a goal despite of the circumstance in which you and I may find ourselves in. And as we read through scripture this morning, we're going to find that the people that we surround ourselves with will play a huge role in helping us or keeping us from being all that God has called us to be, specifically in dealing with our relationships with our friends. If we have the right friends around us, they set us up for success, right? In every area of our lives, our families, our marriages, our school, you know, our businesses, whatever it is, any area of your life, if you have the right friends, they will set you up for success. However, the vice versa is also true. Having the wrong friends will cause more pain, will cause probably sadness, will cause suffering, and in some instances, right, destruction. So what we want is this morning, we want to look at, when I look back at different seasons in my life and see, like, when I think about all the times I found myself being the least productive, right? When I was, always getting in trouble, it had a direct link to the people I was hanging around with. I rarely got into trouble by myself. And I'll share a little bit more about that here in a little bit. But have you found this to be true as well? When you think about the high points and low points in your life, and then you think about the people that surrounded you, did their influence cause some of that result in your life? Well, if you're like me, then this really does reflect that. So before continuing this morning, I want you to do something. Let's do an exercise. Do you have like a piece of paper, or do you have something to write with? If you have a pen, or on your phone, the notes, like write, pull out your phone and write a couple notes. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out a piece of paper, take out your phone, write, so you can write a note real quick, and take about 20 seconds or so to make a list of your closest friends, right? Make a list of your closest friends. Who are the people that you can call at 2 in the morning, right? Who can you be real with? Who can you be transparent with? These are the people that you know intimately and that they know you intimately as well. Who is in your inner circle? So really quickly, make a list of those friends that you would consider the closest. And while you are doing that, listen to this statement that we have here. You are the average of the five people you must most associate with. You are the average of the five people you most associate with. So spiritually, morally, financially, chances are that you and I are somewhere in the middle. You and I are the average of our closest friends, right? Now, did you finish your list? Everybody write something down? All right, now look at it. Look at those names you have on there and ask yourself this question. Do you want to become like those who you hang around with? Do you want, as you look at your list, do you want to become those you hang around with? Are you with the right people? Do you want a healthy marriage? Well, do the people around on your list have healthy marriages? Do you want financial freedom? Well, do the people you have on your list reflect that? Are you growing spiritually? You want to grow in your relationship with God? Well, do those people reflect that? Or is it kind of the opposite, right? Do you need to reevaluate your list? Do you notice, oh no, this is not good, right? Before we do anything though, if you need adjustments, we'll have a time for that today. And I know God's already working in some of your hearts. I can tell when I asked you to write down the list of friends you had, you were like, oh, this is going to be easy. You might not even have anything written down, right? But before you do that, let's rediscover what friendship is, right? Let's rediscover what friendship is. So in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says this, a friend loves when? Come on, say it with me. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So you have to have people who surround you with love. There is great value in having friends. Would you agree? Yes? Would you agree? Yes? There's great value in having friends. I mean, just think about what our lives would look like if we had friends that loved us, not sometimes, not, you know, every now and then, but all the time, right? If we had friends that loved us all the time, not just for seasons, but for many, many years. If we had friends that were with us during the good times, that were with us during the bad times, and anywhere in between. If we had friends that spoke truth, even when we were doing things that were harming us, they were able to tell us, nope, you're wrong. Hey, don't go that way. Don't be stupid, right? Because sometimes we need to hear that. You know, what would our life look like? Our friends, we need to surround ourselves, or we need to understand that the Bible says a friend loves at all times. However, there is a current phenomenon that's pretty common nowadays, especially since the last 60 or so years. It is likely that many of us this morning, when I ask you to write, we only wrote either one or two names, right? Only one or two names. Some of us might have four or five, but most likely, if we were to go around checking people's lists, you probably have only one or two, right? And the question then is why? Why? So I did some research as to why, what's going on with our friends, right? Why are people not really, why do we have a good, solid group of friends to keep us accountable? And so in a revealing sociological study that I was reading, it said that a large percentage of Americans report having shrinking networks and fewer relationships. The average American has only one close confidant. And the same study showed, and the leading reason people seek out counseling is loneliness. So there is definitely something wrong with this picture, right? There is something wrong with this picture. But why do you think this is happening? Why don't we have a larger list? Well, I think I can give you three reasons why, all right? You ready? Three reasons why. The first one is individualism. Individualism. What does that mean? Individualism means we don't realize or accept the need for friends. We are an independent culture, right? I can do everything by myself. I don't need you. I can do it, right? It's all about me. Don't get in my way. We are independent. We are good on our own, right? We are, unless that equals isolated, which can be bad, but we are free and autonomous. Another way of saying it is like we just like to be alone. We don't value friendship. We don't value community as it was in previous years. And I think that's one of the reasons we're just all about us, individualism. The second reason why I think our list isn't very big is, man, we're so busy. We're busy people, right? We're working all the time, putting in that extra work, putting in the work on the weekends, taking our kids to soccer practice, then taking them to volleyball, and then taking them to after-school activities, and then, we're running around everywhere. We have so many activities, putting in so many hours at work that we don't set time aside to build significant relationships. We're busy, right? And the third thing, I think, the reason why our list probably isn't as big is because of the explosion of social media. Right, the explosion of social media. Facebook, there are 1.4 billion monthly active users. 936 million people use Facebook every day, keeping up with friends and family. Yet, it's an accelerated contradiction. The more connected we are, the lonelier we become. I mean, just think about your face. If you have a Facebook or an Instagram or a Twitter or whatever social media network you use, think of all the followers you have, right? Some of the students have over 1,000 followers on their social, and just think about how many you have, 400, 500, 200, whatever. But really, out of all of those, how many do we actually have any sort of relationship with other than happy birthday, on your birthday? And sometimes not even that. Americans eat half as many meals with family and friends as they did 50 years ago. On average, we have half as many close friends. A report said that 60% of men over 30 cannot identify a single person they would call a close friend. And of the 40% who list friends, most were made during childhood or school years. Right? Yeah, I remember, Joe when we were in fifth grade and we were at VBS, I haven't seen him in I don't know what's up. We keep up on Facebook, but we don't have an intimate relationship. So the National Science Foundation reported that an unprecedented numbers of Americans are lonely. Researchers noted increases in social isolation and a significant decrease in social connection to close friends and family. So, social media, the explosion. Even with friends, we struggle to be fully present. Would you agree? I mean, have you ever sat around I go to the restaurant all the time with my wife Yami, and we try to put our phones in our pocket and kind of have the conversations, but it's super hard sometimes because like we get buzzed. And you pull out your phone, and then we'll sit there for about 5 minutes and not say a word. We're eating literally right across from each other. And we're just doing this, right? And then I'll send a text, and it's the group text she's in, and she's laughing, and we're in conversation, but we're not even talking. It's through the group text that we just send right there, right? So technology was supposed to be our friend. It's supposed to help us stay connected to our friends, but Americans are pioneering to a new kind of relationship. It's called alone together. Alone together. We're connected to everyone, but to no one in particular. We're available to all, but not the ones we're with. We're connected to the world, yet safely disconnected to the ones closest to us, right? And we have a lot of students say that they would rather text than talk. Right? Electronic communication is clean, sanitized, edited, and abbreviated. Actual conversation is essential and beneficial, but also complicated, messy, risky, and we're forgetting how to do it. Our technology gives us the illusion of intimacy without the mess or risk. So we're increasingly more lonely and increasingly more afraid of intimacy, which is another accelerating contradiction. Now, I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm not saying that social media or anything like that or technology is inherently bad. It's not bad, right? The problem is that we're supposed to use it as a supplement to our relationships, not a replacement for our relationships. However, there is good news, right? So look at the person you have next to you. Hey, it's like, hey, you got hope, right? There is good news. We can fix it. But before we do, we have to define what is friendship. So here, we've come up with some key words that I think just three really easy things to describe friendships, right? The first one is availability. Availability, be present. Availability means this, face-to-face over thumbs-to-thumbs, right? Face-to-face over thumbs-to-thumbs. Friendships are not microwavable. They bake on low heat. Friendships require actual human interaction, right? You know, you can't phone it in. You have to have conversations. You have to share experiences. You have to have, you know, when you share experiences, you find common things. You have common history. The thing I love about camp, what I told you about camp is these kids, right, for the first couple of hours, it's an addiction, right? They're like, hey, man, you got my cell phone? I was like, dude, you'll be fine. Just relax. It's like, all right. And then a couple minutes later, it's like, hey, when do we get our cell phone, man? And like the only thing that's missing is that they need to scratch their hand. They're, it's like, dude, calm down, man. You'll be fine. Believe me, social media will be there when you're done. Why? Because they're so used to doing this thumb to thumb. They're so used to scrolling and connecting with the world through the social platform, and they forgot of the importance of having relationships. So as we're in the cabins and as we're fooling, you know, we're messing with each other, and as we're growing, as we're getting to know each other, and as we're building relationships, you see them like by the end of the week, they don't really miss their phones anymore, right? Why? Because we weren't created to have this superficial relationships with people. We were created to be in intimate relationships with others. Face to face over thumbs to thumbs. I have a question for you. Do you have a friend who you actually spend time with face to face? Are you available? Are you accessible to your friends? So it's not so much, well, yeah, they don't want to hang out with me, but really, are you making time for them? Availability, then, face to face over thumbs to thumbs. If you want to have friendships, you have to be available. The second thing, authenticity. Authenticity. You have to be open. The difference between an acquaintance and a friend is depth. All right? The difference between an acquaintance and a friend is depth. A friend will dive down below the surface to get what's real. When your true self needs adjusting, a friend will help make it. And there's this quote by Pastor Craig Rochelle, which I loved it. He says, "We may impress people with our strengths, but we connect with people with our weaknesses." Right? And that's one of the things. Again, when you see a camp, it's like once those walls come down, those relationships start growing, right? Once you can get to the point, it's like, you know what? On social media, I know I posted and it was a great day, but I was having the worst day of my life, right? I know that on my wall, you see the perfect family. It's like, it's a perfect picture. You know, I have a perfect marriage, but it's falling apart. I don't. See, and then we can relate. You know why? It's like, I'm going through the same thing, right? We may impress people with our strengths, but we connect with people in our weaknesses. We connect with people in our weaknesses. Proverbs 27, verse 5-6 says this, "Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Better is an open rebuke than hidden. You have to be transparent. And you have to be able to say, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. So question, do you have a friend you can totally be honest with? Do you have a friend who cares enough about you to be honest with you? So availability, authenticity, the third thing is loyalty, right? Loyalty. Love at all times. The key through authenticity is loyalty. And the trust is, and the trust enables. You can't be honest with somebody you cannot trust. True? Yes? You cannot be honest with somebody you cannot trust. Who's not a loyal man, said of his friend. One day he rolled out the carpet for me, the next day he pulled the red carpet from under me. So you have to be loyal, right? It just takes one betrayal to bring a deep relationship to the surface. And if we're going to have thriving relationships, if we're going to be friends God's called us to love on people and to encourage people and to be difference makers, we have to be available, we have to be authentic, we have to be loyal. Proverbs 16:28 says the following: a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. So a person who tells everything they know doesn't have very many friends, do they? So you have to be loyal. You have to be authentic. You have to be available. So God wants our families, marriages, our friendships to thrive. Maybe you came in this morning for affirmation. Maybe you fit one of those descriptions. As I said, you couldn't write one person on your paper or on your notes, right? Maybe you feel lonely. You have 1,000 friends on Facebook, but nobody's out there reaching out to you. Feel lonelier than ever, right? Maybe when you look at the paper, the piece of paper, you see people that, man, you know, those aren't really helping me grow. They're not drawing me closer to God. They're not helping me, mature in my walk with Christ. I'm not really committed to these. You know, they're not really committed to me, to seeing my success. And so maybe you walked in this morning and you realize you need to make adjustments to your list of friends, or maybe this morning you have had relationships, great relationships with people, and something happened and it's broken, and you feel like, man, you know, I really need to apologize. I really need to restore relationship. Because if there's anything that reflects Christianity, is restoration, right? Because we were at war with God, and God sent Jesus to do what? To restore that relationship, to restore, to exchange judgment for grace, to exchange, suffering for heaven, right? To exchange judgment for compassion and forgiveness. We just sang about this last song that we sang about. It's about God restoring his relationship with us. So we can come where? To the altar. We can stand before God's presence, and we can kneel before him and confidently trust that he is going to forgive us, that he's going to transform us, that he's got better things for us. He's got better things for our families. He's got better things for our marriages. He has better things for our students, for our children. He has better things for Conroe. He has better things for this church. But are you willing to make that difference? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to be authentic? Are you willing to be available? Are you willing to be vulnerable? Are you willing to reach out to that person that you probably had a great relationship with, and it was something dumb as to why you don't speak anymore? And are you willing to restore that relationship this morning? So here's what I want to do as we close. I'm going to challenge you to do three things. One of three things, not all three things. You might have to do all three things, but at least one thing. If you came in here lonely and you think that you're not worth much because of, you know, nobody likes your posts, when you put it on and you sit there and you wait and you wait and you wait and then you wait, and you're still waiting. Can I remind you of something? Right? Your value is not based on what people say. Your value is based on the fact that Jesus came down and died on the cross for your sins. See, it doesn't matter how many friends you have on Facebook. The one true friend that matters is whether you have Jesus or not. And that's going to change everything, right? Your relationship with Jesus is going to affect how you encounter others. You see, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What did he respond? Love the Lord your God with what? With all your mind, with all your strength, with everything you are. Love God first. If you can get that right, if you can get that first relationship correct, then the second relationship, we said, then the second commandment is this. What is it? Love your neighbor as who? See, you have to love yourself. But you're not going to be able to love yourself if you don't understand who you really are. You're not going to be able to love yourself if you don't understand, hey, that God loves you. Not because you're worth, because God needs something from you, because he chose to love you. Not because without you, God is lonely and he needs friends. It's not because of that. He chose to come down on his own for us who didn't deserve it. That is called grace, right? That is called mercy. And that God that created the universe, created you. And I want you to know this morning that you are valuable. If you've heard all your life that you weren't worth anything, if you were picked last on the basketball court, right? If you weren't the smartest kid in school, you're not the most popular person, you had a hard time finding friends, you were bullied, if all these things, look, let me tell you today, don't walk your whole life in defeat. Today, I want you to know that Jesus loves you, that he has a great plan and purpose for your life, but you have to get that relationship, God. Come to the altar, go to God and say, God, I surrender my life to you. See, that's the first thing we gotta get. If you can get that right, it's gonna be so much easier when you're trying to love others. It's gonna be so much easier forgiving others. It's gonna be so much easier being available for others. Going to be so much easier just spending time with other people. But you got to get that first relationship right.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.